Drunk on Comics, episode 111. We have this week's podcast spliced up a little different than normal. With San Diego Comic-Con this past weekend, we ended up recording an entire episode of the news that we learned from the con. But we also had some books we want to review, so we recorded those as well. We were going to do two separate episodes, however, we just decided to splice them together with the magic of editing. We talked about Afterlife with Archie, Gru vs. Conan, and Supreme Blue Rose. We have way too much stuff to talk about that can't be summarized about the news, but we know if you grab a cold one, sit back and listen, and you'll enjoy episode 111 of Drunk on Comics. Since we're recording, get into Off the Shelf.
Yeah, this is just a little awkward now. Off the Shelf, well, actually, welcome everybody to Drunk on Comics. I'm Derek. I like to eat things. And that's Tony.
Yep.
And I don't know what Tony does. Actually, we should kind of make a little announcement. Our format's slightly different this week.
Yes, we recorded two shows this week, and we're going to be splicing them together. We were going to do two separate, but since the other one is going to be filled with a bunch of news, why not just throw that here now and then?
Because it's more timely and newsly and journalisticness.
That's a good word.
I'm trying to do Tony words.
Channel your inner Tony.
Yeah. So stick around after, and you will actually get a little dose of Matt, too. Matt had a quick comeback after Dirk Manning called him out for being the other member of the show, I think. Mm-hmm. But all right, Off the Shelf this week is brought to you once again by GrandCon. You can check them out online at grand-con.com. It's a gaming and comic convention that's happening here in Grand Rapids, Michigan, September 19th through the 21st at the Crown Plaza Hotel. We will be there. That's pretty much all you need to know, but there's actually going to be some other really cool guests, but I think we're pretty much are we headlining basically, I think, this year?
Yeah, I think we're big on the marquee. Ryan Stegman's below us, so.
Well, I mean, if he wants to draw something, draw himself into our picture, that's fine, you know. But yeah, Mark McKenna's going to be there. Dirk Manning, Seth DeMuse, Pat Mahan, just to name a few for the comic guests, and tons of people from the gaming world as well. So if you're into that, like Tony and Matt definitely are, then you'll like all of it. All right, Tony, why don't you kick us off here with your book for Off the Shelf?
Well, my book for Off the Shelf is something we've actually talked about almost every single issue that's come out of this, and it is Afterlife with Archie. This is episode 6 in an ongoing series.
Episode?
Yes. I was trying to make it sound like it's an old-timey whatever word balloon things. I have never been this enthralled with a book in its entirety than I have with the Afterlife with Archie series. Never really cared for Archie. I mean, he's been there, and I just figured he needed to choose one or the other eventually, but who knows what he's thinking there. But this turn of dynamics within this universe has really turned Archie upside down, and this particular issue, though, doesn't deal necessarily with Archie. That first story arc just wrapped up in the last issue. And this is getting into more of what's been happening with Sabrina, who we haven't seen since the
first issue,
with her pretty much releasing the zombie hordes from reading the Necronomicon. And this was just made so perfectly. I mean,
this was okay. And back up a little bit here, because it's been written by Roberto Aguirre Sacasa and Francesco Francavilla are doing the art on this, and this entire series has been outrageously good. And I think the creative team on this one, they scared the fuck out of me with this one.
Well, this is totally different than the zombie type thing, which we will get into, but you, the first freaking page says, in the house at Rayleigh, dead Cthulhu waits dreaming. And you're kind of like, okay, that's interesting, and you kind of get this dream sequence of Sabrina, and we know that her aunts kind of banished her for using the Necronomicon, but you didn't really hear much of her sense, and she was in what, the Neither World, or she was
limbo.
Yeah, one way, she's pretty much being punished for using a book that she wasn't supposed to. And you kind of see these things of having a great time, but getting glimpses of a fractal reality of things don't seem quite right, but that she knows she's dreaming. And you kind of get, then you pretty much find out that she's just in a mental ward
with Dr. Lovecraft, which I love the fact that there's, you know, the H.P. Lovecraft reference there.
Yeah, and that right away starts getting me thinking, okay, this as a reader is not good where she's at, and this is an institution that is going to have a lot darker meaning than what it seems out to be.
Well, there's one panel in particular in this where she's leaving Dr. Lovecraft's office, and as he stands up, you see what I don't know if they're scales or eyeballs or what on his back.
I think eyeballs.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, what the fuck is going on with this book? It's nuts. This whole thing is nuts.
And you get this sense of, okay, they're trying to get her to think that magic is not real, that she is not this witch, that she is somebody else. And you get introduced to some other characters who are also at this school, and they are also having the same problems with whatever it is that they were good at, and being convinced differently that whatever Lovecraft is telling them is the truth, and whatever they perceive reality is, has been false. But Sabrina's still getting those glimpses, and although she's been having her magic suppressed by pills, she's still kind of seeing through the veil that is. Now, she then starts kind of remembering some things of what she did, and what she did that she released it, and then of the zombies and reading from the Necronomicon. But ultimately, she doesn't know why she's here then, or what's going on in particular, or what do these people truly want for her, and where are her aunts? And it's a lot of questions that kind of get answered, but at the same point, leaves the reader being like, really gripping the pages, like, oh fuck, don't do this. Like, I was so enthralled with this story, everything from the dialogue to where I end up going, and the art just enhanced that. The small little nuances of smoke here or a shadow here really created this strange, eerie world.
And I think I think Francavilla is producing probably some of the best art that's out there in the comic book world right now. But for something that is so completely unbelievable, he actually makes it feel realistic, and that's what's fucking scary.
I fucking reading other comic books, you kind of get sad if someone dies, but you don't feel that sense of it is. But with this particular series, it's kind of how it is. People aren't just coming back from the dead. Oh, wait, they are. But besides becoming reanimated back from the dead, these characters are who they are, and they have real-life consequences within this afterlife universe.
Well, I was talking, you know, with somebody the other day, I think it was on Wednesday, when I was reading this issue, and, you know, we were talking back and forth. I'm like, hey, are you reading this because you really need to, if you aren't? And he was. And the issue where Archie's dog, Vegas, sacrifices himself, the book made me fucking cry, man. I'm like, what the hell? That's not cool. Like, but then I thought about it. I go, you know what? That's actually really damn impressive. Like, if you can do that in a comic book, boy, I mean, this book is worthy of every award out there. And I don't mean, like, just, you know, just the Eisners and all the other. I mean, this book should be getting literary awards from across different forms of media. It's just that good. This is one of the absolute must reads that are out there. I mean, there's only a couple of them that I can say, and this is one of them.
Yes, and this issue in particular, as we've said, is not following the norm of the other story arc, but I kind of want to get more of what happens after this book. I am not going to give away that last panel page of this, but honestly, it leaves a lot to the imagination. Holy shit, wow, this ain't good. And there's a lot more to come in the Afterlife series if this is going to be playing out within it.
What I liked with this, and not giving anything away, but what I liked is, you know, I never thought that Aguirre Sacasa and Frank Avila would take this
in this direction.
That they would take it away from just your zombie apocalypse type story. Excuse me. And the fact that they have come up with something that's even more terrifying is just it's blown my mind. I can't say enough good things about this. You know, the one thing though, you know how much I love Saga and how I think that's, you know, at least as far as, you know, over that time span, it's the best ongoing book that there's been. The difference between Saga and this, because both of those would be in what I'd consider the top five absolute must-reads for anyone that's into comics. Saga has a slower issue here or there. Now, granted, we're only six issues in. Afterlife with Archie has yet to slow down, and it's only gotten better with every single issue. And how they managed to pull out six consecutive perfect issues that get better with each one is beyond me. So this is absolute must read. So that's all I got to say on that one, because I'm afraid if I say more, I'll give something away.
Yeah, so we will leave it at that. Definitely need to pick this up. And what do you got?
I have something very unlikely today. I have Gru versus Conan, number 1 of 4.
Who?
Gru.
Gru who?
Are you familiar with Gru? Actually, let me just ask.
Not really. I know I've heard of Gru.
Okay.
I'd say that.
Gru is a bumbling barbarian, is the best way that you can do it. And Gru, you know, has his little dog as his companion, and Gru basically just, you know, wanders, and people, like, he manages to fuck everything up that, you know, somebody says, hey, you know, like, he's like, I'm a barbarian for hire, and they have him do the opposite of what really he should do so that they get the end result they want. So this is a crossover book, and you know, it starts out with that. Now, oh, and actually, let me give a little credit here. Stories by Sergio Argonis, who does who created Gru, and Mark Evanier, who's handled Conan for a long time. Now, Sergio also did the art for When It Was Gru, and Thomas Yates did the art for Conan. Colors by Tom Luth, lettering by Richard Starkings and Comicraft. But it's one of these things where I'm like, just having Conan on a page along with Mad Magazine style characters, because that's what Sergio Argonis is also very well known for, is drawing for Mad Magazine for years. Having two completely different art styles on the same page fucks with your head. Like, it's hard to comprehend what's going on.
It's kind of like Bill Murray with Bugs Bunny playing basketball.
This is more disturbing. Space Jam. But I mean, just, you know, you look at that. At some of these pages in here. Now, the fun part with this book, and this is what I did not expect, is that they actually have, you know, as they're kind of telling these stories, it jumps into quote-unquote real world setting, where you have Sergio Argonis and Mark Evanier walking down the street talking to each other and talking about, you know, could Gru and Conan have a crossover, blah, blah, blah. And Sergio is basically going, that's dumb, it's a terrible idea, it'd never work, you know, you're going to have to pay me a lot of money kind of thing. but I'm not going to give all the little fun parts away here, but it definitely is a peek into these two people on who they are. They make a lot of fun about Sergio that English is not his strong suit.
Was it more comedic when they met up?
They have not yet met.
Oh.
It's, but this sets up the whole thing about it. One of my favorite parts in here, and this is really long, but I'm going to read this anyway, because Sergio asks a kid in this comic book store, reader type person, I ask you question. Who win in fight, Gru or Conan? The response was great because, Tony, you know how many times we've talked about who would win in a fight?
Mm-hmm.
This is quite possibly the best answer for anything ever when it comes to that. Quote, that is a foolish question. Being as how they are fictional characters, their actions are governed not by any actual rules of strength or science, but by the whims of the person authoring their adventures. That person could construct a narrative that yielded any particular outcome, depending on how he chose to develop the narrative. It is inane to speak of these speculative adventures in the same context as a battle in which there is no predetermined result, and the winner is governed by actual brute strength and skills. How can you possibly ask who would win a theoretical battle in the same sense? And I'm just like, that's the perfect answer.
You know? I don't like that answer, though.
Yeah, I know you wouldn't, but this is a fun book. It's very, very well written, and you would think for a book that I expected to be more funny and goofy that there wouldn't be as much dialogue as there is, but there's quite a bit, and it's good dialogue, and it's fun. It's lighthearted. It didn't take me where I expected it to. Just like any good Mad magazine, there's lots of little, just lots of little Easter eggs hidden in there. They're at the comic shop, and the woman that's holding up the T-shirt with Jar Jar Binks on it, you know, she's all giddy and happy, and that there's, you know, just little comic books in the background and little homages to all these different characters on there. It's just fun. You know, I highly recommend picking this up and giving it a shot. Mostly because I think once Conan and Gru actually do meet, and this one was heavier on Gru than it was on Conan, and I don't know how the comics are going to lay out. It's definitely worth picking up to see. And if you're a fan of Mad Magazine, it's a good one too. But there's actually a really good which is actually titled this text page. In the back from Mark Evanier, and talks about, you know, how this came together. You know, it's a good book. Caught me off guard, and that's pretty much what I was wanting to bring to light. So that's all I got on that one.
All right, well, since you're reviewing books, why don't you review some Indie Turnpike as well? Did you get anything this week?
I do. Indie Turnpike this week. This one, another one, caught me a little by surprise, was Supreme Blue Rose, number one from Image Comics, and I know you're looking at me going, huh?
No, I flipped through it. I didn't quite understand from what I was looking at what the book was, so I kind of passed on it.
You shouldn't have. This book is, well, a little credit here first. Warren Ellis wrote it, and Tula Lote is the artist on here. And I think the biggest thing with this book that first grabbed me was the artwork itself. Because, Tony, as you look through, it's scratchy. There's scribbles across, you know, the page. Almost in a sense that It's one of two things to me. It's like there's a little bit of trippiness going on,
or someone left it on their table and their kids got a hold of it and started writing on it.
Or there's like static interfering.
Okay, or that too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying though, it looks though. I don't see the rhyme or reason, is what I was saying. It looks like someone enhanced it, but enhanced it in with weirdness.
Well, and this is a very, very strange story. The main character in this book, Diana, is it Diana Dane? I think was her name in here. It's, she's an investigative reporter. I'll start. There was what people thought was a plane crash, but it wasn't actually a plane that crashed. It was some weird artifacts that just fell out of the fucking sky. She is being sent to report on this. She's being paid a large sum of money. This also deals with almost an afterlife. I mean, it opens up with kind of this you're about to be reborn into this world thing, and you don't know what. And there's a guy who he's got what could be a helmet with no openings on it, or it could just be his head. He's just known as the Enigma. I don't really know how to properly explain what's going on with this book without giving it away. Other than the fact that you don't know what's real, you don't know what isn't. And overall, the story is, it's solid. I mean, just the fact that Ellis is writing this kind of a story. And here's a perfect example. There's a guy that Diana meets later on, and it was described by one of our review writers as it looks like, and here's Tony where it's going to be perfect, it looks like a kid colored on over his face with black crayon. And this guy's name is Ruben, and when he meets Diana, she looks at him and she's startled and he goes, "Oh, you can see my birth defect. Most people can't see it, but you know, and some people that can eventually, their brain will actually start to make them not see it anymore." What the fuck? Like, I don't know what's going on with this whole situation. Like, how real, how surreal it is. If this is all a dream, there's like some queen of Saturn that's in here in the beginning, and she shows up like, you know, as she's going to be in the next issue. This book has me fucking like just entranced because it's so unique. The artwork is so gorgeous. And like, even with all the little stuff drawn in and around it, I reread this thing 3 times.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Like normally it's a big deal if I reread a book once because of just the sheer volume. I reread it 3 times. Every time I picked up something new, I will probably read it one more time. And it's just solid. And there's some really good backstory stuff in here, too. Like, when they're drawing about the sketches and you know, about the dreams. Because there are dreams in here. And one of the things was the bird. You know, because you've got this weird bird perched on her shoulder in the beginning. And in the sketchbook section of the... They're talking about how the birds separate and merge Diana's dream world and her reality. And so you could kind of tell when those changes were taking place. That was like one of the ideas. There's some other cool stuff in here about, you know, how Lotte was originally starting with traditional inks and then moved over to digital inks near at the end. And there's actually a page where it kind of shows, you know, what he was doing there. And he was talking and he talks about how he wanted to make the transition seamless, and so there's a lot of trial and error there. So I mean, just from a fan point of view, where I like the creation of the comic book, there's a lot of good information in here, and you could just sit and stare at these pages for days. So definitely go pick this one up. It's a weird title. It doesn't, my terrible pitch on the book probably hasn't convinced anybody, because they're going to be like, I don't know what it's about. Doesn't matter. Just go pick it up, because this is a book I got excited about. And you know me. I don't get super excited about a lot of books, but normally when I do, they turn out to be winners.
Yep.
So, all right.
Well, this week's Booze in a Book brought to you by Ink Whiskey. Don't forget to get your retro gaming flask from them. Some announcements about those coming up soon, maybe.
Maybe, possibly.
Yeah.
Inkwhiskey.com. Go check them out.
Yes. This week's Booze in the Book should be a book that everyone should own. I mean, I was able to find a copy, a pretty nice copy of Detective Comics number 27.
Mm-hmm.
The original.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a copy, too.
Yeah.
Mine was free.
I know. Sadly, it's not the original Detective Comics number 27. But it is a special edition one celebrating Batman's 75th anniversary. And going along with that, there are so many different black-type lagers and just stuff that I was looking for to pair with this. And after trying a lot of different stouts, I finally came on the one that I feel fits best, not only for, I don't know, tasting great, but just the name itself. And it is the Dark Knight Black IPA from Petoskey Brewing. 5.5 alcohol by volume, 74 IBUs, and it all in all
that's
tastes great.
That's pretty high for a stout.
Yes. It's an IPA.
Oh, okay, sorry.
That's the thing, though. I don't like stouts, so this was even better that it was an IPA. So, for me, that was the perfect booze to go with this this book. So
nice. Tony, we got a little best on tap this week, don't we?
Oh, yeah, we do. We did talk about that. I forget what we've talked about so much.
Yeah. Best on Tap, which, for those are new listeners out there, this is when we have one cover that really just sticks out and you know, deserves a little extra mention. That's our Best on Tap. Other things, and normally, like, our things with covers are, I mean, it's got to pop, it's got to look great. You know, it's really got to call out to you. Just like the Drunk on Comics t-shirts that you can get at dawapparel.com. dawapparel.com. Go get your Drunk on Comics shirts there. Use the discount code DOC20 and you'll get 20% off. Anyway, All New Ultimates number 5 came out this week, and you and I both came to each other and said, hey, what'd you think? Well, I think it's this one, and I already had the picture saved on my phone saying that's the one. Drawn by David Nakayama, and it's from afar, it's a skull, but close up, it's you know, it's the new Ultimates being attacked, and it's just very, very nice. It's black and white, beautiful work. I definitely recommend going out and checking it out. Almost kind of a gray wash on some of that.
But it's, I like when there's images that make another image, kind of, like, I don't know what you'd call that, but.
Magic eye?
Sure.
Yeah.
Stare at it long enough and you'll see a fish.
Yeah.
Or a sailboat.
Oh, it's a schooner.
Can't see the damn sailboat.
Schooner is a sailboat, you stupid head. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, that's All New Ultimates.
All right, then, well, that does it for this quick kind of version, because we kind of skipped over news and notes, which we already have recorded from when we were at San Diego Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
So
stick around, you'll hear that.
Yeah.
Tony, did you have anything for last call?
To be honest, I did not have a lot of other books that I got to read. I picked up a lot of other books. I just haven't necessarily read them yet because of all the work that we've been doing at San Diego. So,
well, I've got some here, and actually I have to say that even though this was a smaller week for me, this was probably the most excited I've been about every book that's been in my stack this week. Daredevil number 6, which is the original Sin tie-in, really cool. Saga number 21, I mentioned Saga earlier, it's just, you know, continues to be awesome, and that book is going to break my heart at some point. Twilight Zone number 7, that story's still kicking ass. Amazing Spider-Man number 4, still loving it. Trees number 3, and I think probably the the other book that was right on the verge of me talking about, but since I talked about issue one already, I kind of held off, and that's Ted McKeever's The Superannuated Man, number two. This book's cool, man. So, anyway, that's pretty much all the recommendations that I had. There were more, but those were the ones that really stood out above and beyond. So, that do it?
That does it for this.
All right. Gonna go get something to eat? Nom, 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 nom.
And stay tuned for our news.
Yeah, guys. We'll chat with you later. See ya.
How was seeing Bobcat?
It was good.
It was that good?
Oh. Whew. It was so enjoyable it brought tears to my eyes. Yeah. Now the Bobcat show was awesome, man.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah. The beach and the movies were fun.
You know, nobody cares about this shit.
I know.
We should probably start talking about like real stuff,
like news from San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, it's what's most impressive, I think, is how we were able to like just travel out there, mm-hmm. and then get back to do all of our other stuff here. Mm-hmm.
More impressive was how we were able to actually cut in lines. And actually get in to see things.
I like everything that we're going to talk about.
Yeah, because we were totally there in person.
Yeah, we saw a lot.
And then we had to go visit the hospital where Joss was recovering from knee surgery.
Well, so, yeah, and visit Stanley where he was recovering from laryngitis.
So, you know, it was a busy, you know, 20, 30 minutes or so.
I know, and one of the biggest things that I heard came out of it was something from Marvel Comics. They just revealed the new... Because they've been talking about all these changes they've been doing with their big, you know, franchises. But the new Wolverine is going to be a transgender Samoan atheist. Can you guys believe that?
Yeah.
I heard that his bones are made out of 100% recyclable material.
Yes, yeah, which is good. Well, you know, I mean, it's helping to reduce his carbon footprint.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Marvel's really going for diversity now, and right. I think that's a good way to do it.
I had also heard that DC, after... getting word that Marvel was going to change gender roles for Thor, not to be outdone, decided to change the gender of Wonder Woman. So Wonder Woman's now going to be a male. They did say there's continuity because the series will now be about the original Wonder Woman's son. To quote, we at DC here are thrilled about the future of the characters. Nothing in the series will change except for the gender role, so the writing will still stay consistent because nothing changes. And with it, the character being a male, there's already 3 movies and a television project in the works. So,
just to clarify here,
in case you couldn't hear the sarcasm for those first 2 stories,
this is the kind of awesome bullshit that you can find on the internet. Besides our awesome bullshit,
yeah,
but these are not true stories, but. The fun thing is that both of these have popped up in my news feed,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that Google, you know, God bless them for doing a good job on most stuff, can't tell the difference between a fake news and a real news story.
Or our friends who, some of them love comics, some of them know that we love comics, so they will share stuff, yeah. you know, within Facebook or Twitter. Oh my God, you guys, have you heard this? Yeah, we've heard that, and we kind of... know that that's not true.
Yeah, I not to get into the details of it, but a friend of mine just last night had mentioned one of the rumors about Guardians of the Galaxy, and I was like, yeah, we kind of followed that, and most sources are debunking it as just a rumor.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we'll be surprised that some of these rumors are true. I mean, there's always hope, I suppose. I'd love to see the aluminum can Wolverine, but...
well, you know... It would be interesting because Magneto couldn't do anything to him, you know.
Yeah, you know they always Magneto's. If you want to be serious, can only really control iron, cobalt, and nickel, and yet he seems to be able to control anything made out of metal. So, yeah. I think they kind of stretch his magnetic powers like Mr. Fantastic on a date with Sue. So,
well. Something that I was really excited to see while walking the show floor was new Transformers toys. That's all I'm going to say. They look badass.
Really? Tony likes toys? The Transformer variety?
Tony likes Transformers? That's just fucking weird. Yeah, okay. Here's one thing that I'm going to bring up. Because for me, I think one of the most interesting things about San Diego Comics, and I guess we technically never introduced ourselves to any potential new listeners. I'm Derek.
I'm Tony.
Whose phone?
I'm Zordon, and I have a message for you. I'm Matt.
Yeah, so when Tony's done conversing with Zordon, the thing that I'm most interested in coming out of San Diego Comic-Con is comic book related stuff. I know this is weird.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, I'm not that big on the How I Met Your Mother panels that and shit like that goes on out there. There was a Saga panel out there, and there were a couple interesting things that came out of it. And I found an article on Hero Complex, which is part of LA Times, and it's just kind of a cool thing because I've had discussions with other friends about this, whether or not Saga could be transformed into other mediums,
like a Transformer.
No,
not like transform and pick my interest.
Yeah, no, but like you know, what could it be made into? TV or movies or whatnot, and they added this basically saying that you know for the most part they're wanting to keep it a comic book form, but where you guys might be interested, both Staples and Vaughn did agree that Saga could be a tabletop role playing game, and that it could work very well there. So I just thought that was kind of cool because to me that's a little thinking outside the box. But there's some really fun stuff if you get a chance to look up, you know, the highlights from that interview and you are a fan of Saga, it's well worth looking at. Tony, what else did you have out there?
Well, one that I find interesting because I think the movie was badass, but it's once again one of those things that IDW is pulling from the lot of already established IPs, but Edward Scissorhands is going to get a four-part miniseries written by Kate Leith. And I really enjoyed that dark movie. Tim Burton's world, when he created it, I thought was just mesmerizing. And so this should pick up where the movie left off. And I love that at least it's continuing the story instead of just rehashing the same bullshit.
That is kind of interesting. Although IDW does pull some really fun shit out sometimes. Like, I don't know if you guys heard about the announcement that they've got a Garbage Pail Kids comic book coming out. Did you see the picture?
Yes.
With Comic-Con Ron? Matt, did you happen to see this one yet? I don't know, like, exactly.
I don't understand how that will translate, but at the same point, it's funny, goofy enough to where, I mean, IDW, I think, is a great publisher in the shit that they pull out, and, you know, they've surprised me with even other intellectual properties that I'm like, how is that going to work? So, as I just said, I'm looking forward to Edward Scissorhands. Never really read or played with Cabbage Patch Kids, but...
What about Garbage Pail Kids?
Aren't they the same thing, only their dirty cousin?
No, the Garbage Pail... Are you familiar with...
Yeah, they pretty much look like dirty Cabbage Patch Kids.
But they weren't actually dolls and toys.
Well, they were made to be for boys.
But they weren't... They were only cards, Tony.
I'm pretty sure they had some toys.
Those were Cabbage Patch Kids.
At least...
Those were just Cabbage Patch Kids that other kids threw up on, and then they gave them to you.
My dad got out of the dumpster and gave it to me.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, here's Ralphie Ralph. all right, let's see. Speaking of Wonder Woman and not being a transgendered Samoan recycled atheist.
She's still a woman.
Yep. There's a new picture released of her. Of Gal Gadot released of her as Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And She looks pretty darn cool in the outfit.
I think it looks very much like Xena, Warrior Princess.
Yeah.
And I guess that's, okay, since she is an Amazon. But I guess I'm looking for a little more color in it, because it's just a real muted, like, almost brown, maybe it's a tarnished bronze look to it.
Yeah, but then again, I mean, look at Superman's costume. You know, it wasn't that vibrant blue, that vibrant red, that vibrant yellow.
But, those colors were still in there. They're very muted. And this one, there's none of that. I don't know if she's an Amazon, but she always wears the red, white, and blue. Those colors, I think it looks to be a little bit lacking in color, for my take.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely like she could have walked off the set of 300.
Yeah.
Well, I like that. Well, there's been some posts picturing her next to Sif. I forget the girl's name who played Sif in Thor.
Okay.
But because she was also rumored to be a Wonder Woman before, okay. They already casted Wonder Woman. And the pictures are uncanny that they're just like, okay, kind of new female, chick that's going to be kind of a side character, because that's kind of what Wonder Woman is right now. They've been showing her a lot, but at all the Batman versus Superman stuff, which I didn't know it was called Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman yet. They're leaving her out, yet they are really teasing her being a big part of this movie, which...
Well, this is the dawn of the JLA.
Yeah. That's what, I mean, that's pretty much what...
Isn't it called Superman versus Batman, Dawn of Justice?
I think it might be, so...
It goes to a bigger problem and a bigger case for, are women not, are comic books too sexist? But, again, they haven't really done much to make her, her own, I suppose.
I don't know. One of the cool things, though, that has also been leaked, it wasn't necessarily announced, but people who'd seen kind of a teaser of Batman versus Superman have leaked some stills of the new Batsuit. And not the one that they've seen pictures of Ben Affleck in, but of his armor suit, the one that he fought Superman within The Dark Knight Returns. Yep. So that was a book that pretty much the other movies were loosely based on, the mutants and all that. And so this is obviously a continuation of that great book, but not really following Nolan's story arc, but a bit.
Frank Miller's?
No, but I mean, for the three movies of Batman, because this isn't going to have anything really to do with those, but at the same point, they're taking their liberties there, but that's just fucking awesome.
Yeah.
The only thing, now there's one, I think, official release of a new picture of Ben Affleck holding his breath in the cowl because his mouth is closed.
Yeah.
But
how's he supposed to talk like this with his mouth closed?
Well, he's just brooding.
Get enough oxygen to his brain.
Why do you gotta hate on Ben?
He's got the little ears, so small,
and he's already got Matt Damon as Robin in real life.
The only complaint that I've heard so far, and I've seen this on Twitter. People like the new picture of him, but why is there a vagina on his neck? And as soon as somebody... I was like, what? And then I looked at the picture, I went, oh, wow, yeah, that's awkward and uncomfortable.
They're secretly putting, feminist images in there.
Well, because if you look at it, he's got a butt on his chin, so...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be the vagina right there.
Yeah. And then... is his mouth the brown hole? But... All right, moving on.
Yeah.
Speaking of other things that aren't fun, the lines apparently at San Diego this year have been, by the reports I've heard, worse than they've ever been.
Well, I know, because since we were able to just skip the lines.
Well, that's because we had the Drunk on Comics cheater pass, and you can buy a Drunk on Comics cheater pass for the next Comic-Con by sending us $10,000.
Well,
we will give you a pass that says the Drunk on Comics cut-in-line cheater pass.
My Drunk on Comics cheater pass was that new logo that we had engraved on the piece of granite. Yeah. I just walked up behind people and hit them in the head with it.
That'll be similar to your $10,000 donation.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I got in. Like, hey, look at this. Bang! they're talking about lines that were literally a mile long. You know, and that people were trying to get into Hall H, and Hall H seats roughly 6,000 people, but there were lines of, you know, over 12,000. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's, you know, everybody's camping out. And I guess at this point, what's the point of going to Comic-Con if you're going to camp out all weekend to go to one panel?
Yeah. And then, I mean, especially when the internet exists so that you can just find out this information later.
That's what I would rather just do some shopping and look at the toys and just kind of look at a lot of different things. And if there was not a line for a random panel, go in there and be like, oh, I learned something new that I didn't even think I was going to go see.
I guess for me, this is the one reason.
I mean, that's what I did. That's what I did while I was there.
This is the one reason why I didn't want to go, even though you guys made me teleport. I think it's, for the most part, there's so much of it that does not focus on comics anymore. And that's my biggest gripe.
Yeah, but, I mean, their explosion into the movies and TV shows realm, a lot of that is still centered around the comic book franchises that are in movies. I mean, Marvel makes a ton of movie announcements there and TV show announcements there, which we'll talk about here shortly. But
Well, and I understand that, and I'm fine with it, because, I mean, we talk about that, too. But I think, you know, it's like, now, this year I didn't hear about really stupid shit like last year, like I mentioned the How I Met Your Mother panel, mm-hmm. Metallica being there last year.
Well, there was not a lot of, I know, going into this weekend, there was kind of some news floating around of there not being news announcements from big studios. And for a lot of people, they didn't know if what that quite meant, because this has now become more of a cultural icon weekend instead of just comics. But there weren't as many non-related comic book releases at this one, and a lot of people are speculating that movie studios now have the internet. They don't need to make a presence of their new movie coming out. Plus, too, sometimes they could debut their movie before it's finished, and that gets a lot of negative you know, news going around there.
And so if it doesn't fit nicely into their timeline for, you know, marketing and stuff, yeah, I could see why focus yourself and make yourself hit a deadline that is pretty arbitrary.
Well, and thirdly, though, there's a lot of different conventions besides San Diego, and a lot of people are now taking advantage of, let's make a big announcement at this one, we'll get more hype, more news going around that. So, like, Star Wars, they have a Star Wars convention somewhere. I can't remember what it's called right now. But they have a big one that probably more than likely a lot of Star Wars stuff will get revealed there because, hey, there's their fans.
Yeah.
Why not cater to their fans to say these big releases? And, well,
and you know, as far as conventions go, apparently using the name Comic-Con becomes a lawsuit or a cease and desist was issued from San Diego Comic-Con to the Salt Lake Comic-Con.
Yeah, which is quite honestly the dumbest thing that I've ever heard.
Not only dumb, but why only Salt Lake? Like, yeah. There's so many different...
Why not the Grand Rapids Comic-Con or the Motor City Comic-Con or...
Or any Comic-Con.
I mean, they do realize that Comic-Con is just a shortened version of comic book convention.
Well, it's kind of, this harkens back to what we talked about a long time ago, where DC and Marvel own the word superhero, and you can't use it.
Oh, that's right. That's dumb, too.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's,
My freedom of speech means that I can use words that whenever I want.
Well, yeah.
Unless, you know, corporations have rigged the laws so that I don't have that right anymore.
But you're forgetting that your freedom of speech doesn't... can't infringe upon the rights of someone else.
That's true. And money, since it's freedom of speech, means that those with more money have the most freedom of speech.
Well, no, they just get to talk more.
Okay.
So you be quiet now, because I guarantee I got more money on me right now.
That's true. I'm not wearing any pants. I mean, yeah. with pockets, I meant. With pockets.
Some new details on the Ant-Man movie. Mm-hmm. As they've already said, Paul Rudd will be...
Speaking of small things.
Yes. We'll be playing not Hank Pym, but Scott Lang. Yep. But Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas will is playing.
They've Hank now Pym. Said that Evangeline Lilly will play Hank Pym's daughter.
Well, which is Hope Van Damme, is the name of the daughter, which I guess is a nod to the Wasp.
Yes. It was
Janet Van Damme.
And then the bad guy's going.
Was it Van Damme or was it? Why am I thinking Van Dyne?
It is Van Dyne, sorry.
That's what I was thinking, Jean Claude.
Yeah,
sorry. Wilder.
Good.
Okay, I'm like sitting there going, I'm like, am I that wasted already?
Well, something that I didn't know is the Yellow Jacket is going to be the bad guy, which weird because that's kind of another personification of Ant-Man, and so they're already going to have two Ant-Mans.
I really hope that it's because Michael Douglas or Hank Pym has schizophrenic multiple personality disorders and. He's his own bad guy in this.
No. It's played by a different actor. Corey Stoll is going to be Yellow Jacket. Yeah. But I'm like, okay, that just, it's kind of cool that we now learn more, at least, because I've heard a lot of Hank Pym was going to be the bad guy.
You know, the thing about it is they're doing a nice job of trying to take in a lot of the lore and the backstories of the Ant-Man character, of Hank Pym's character in history. But to me, it's just kind of like, oh, I'm going to use the word Yellow Jacket, but it's going to mean something completely different in this one. And just like, I'm going to use Hank Pym, but he's not going to be anything like the Hank Pym that you're used to in the comics. So this feels very superficial, I guess, from what I want. Nothing, I can't trust anything that I know about the character.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the movie when it, because it hasn't even started filming yet. It starts filming August 18th, so they really didn't have any footage for it. However, there's a lot of hype over Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's true.
Some people have already seen the, not pre-release, but what would it be, preview of the movie, and a lot of people rave reviews. I can't wait to see that.
Marvel has already announced that they're going to make a sequel for Guardians of the Galaxy. They have that much success, they are expecting that much success. James Gunn is already slated to direct the sequel. And there's also an animated series that's going to be developed for Disney XD. And being a aficionado of those comic book-related cartoon shows, I would expect good things from it. So,
well, you would expect good things, but we can't do anything until we talk to George R.R. Martin, who is, quote, the first comic book fan.
Yeah, I don't know why you don't like my boy Martin there, man.
I got zero problem with him. It's the dumbest line ever. Why? It's the dumbest statement. Because he's basing this on the fact that he went to a comic convention in New York back in the 60s, and it was the first one held around there, and it was him and roughly 30 people, according to him. And he was first in line, and he got his badge to get in was designated number one.
So... That says he's number one. I mean,
it doesn't say that he's the first comic book fan.
Well, I say I'm the world's biggest Transformers fan. I don't have a badge that designates that. He at least got the badge. So.
I'm my mom's favorite son, and she gave me me a little certificate that said so.
See, now that is true. That's actually based in fact.
Okay.
You know, but it's just stupid. Like. You could say I'm one of the first.
I don't think though, like, so much hating you.
There is a lot of hate. I'm gonna like
come to the light side.
Yeah,
you will. Hopefully,
is this you trying to do Yoda?
No, maybe I am.
Fail miserably, you do. Okay. Speaking of Star Wars, though, there's gonna be. Three new Star Wars books coming out from Marvel.
Okay.
And, you know, we kind of talked for a long time about this. The one thing that I thought was funny was the article that I was reading about it was from SlashFilm.com. And they referred to Leia as the now Disney princess.
That's true. I also heard a fun logic thing that Thor is owned by Disney. Thor is the son of King Odin, who's a king, therefore Thor is a Disney princess. And Thor is now a woman, therefore Thor is now a Disney princess.
Yeah, that works. There's a new 5-issue Star Wars, or 5-issue book called Star Wars Princess Leia. That's going to be coming from Mark Waid and Terry Dodson. There's also an ongoing series about Star Wars, just in general, and that's going to be written by Jason Aaron and drawn by John Cassaday. And then there is going to be a Darth Vader series, which is going to be written by Kieran Gillen and drawn by Salvador LaRocca.
Oh, man, I totally get that. I love Kieran Gillen.
I know.
Speaking of Kieran Gillen, he had a panel, of course, because it's comic book-related news at San Diego Comic-Con, and talking about the new series, Angela, Asgard's Assassin, where he takes on the character of Angela to for wherever she's going next. So I think there's nice tie-in there with the Loki agent of Asgard, you know, kind of feel for it. It's a pretty good interview.
What's your guys' take on Angela in the Marvel Universe?
I think that they're putting in a lot of effort to make her big. I think she is an interesting character, and if they stay consistent with her, she could find a good place there.
I like original characters, mm-hmm. but this is something that's not really been done before. Like, taking a well-established character and bringing it to a whole different universe. I mean, there's crossovers here and there, but then to pretty much leave it in there and then try to make up a pseudo-backstory for her to fit in, it's interesting. And I haven't been disappointed so far with this. I'm sure that it could fall flat in many other ways, but so far, she's fit in quite nice with the Marvel Universe.
Yeah. Speaking of other crossovers, Star Trek and Planet of the Apes.
Yes, finally having been able to see the new Planet of the Apes, which I love all those movies. This is something I can get behind.
IDW's done a great job with their crossovers in the past, so I would expect good things from this one.
However, I said I could get behind. However, I have one fatal flaw that this movie has going for it that I can't get past. And that is, if they're going to the home of the Planet of the Apes, they're going to Earth. Mm-hmm. And if the you know, Enterprise came from Earth, how are they going to the Planet of the Apes unless they've time-traveled? Because that's the whole point of the Planet of the Apes, is you think it's a different planet, but shocker, if no one has ever heard of this movie, it's really Earth.
Get your damn filthy hands off me.
So, I mean, if they... Fuck, they can even just say they made up a planet, and I'll be fine with it, because it'll be interesting to see Kirk get your hands off me, you dirty ape.
You guys both forgot it's damn dirty ape.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they could do some kind of wormhole thing that they go to an alternate reality where...
I think that's what they're going to have to do.
Yeah.
I don't see any other way.
It's a comic book. It's going to be fine.
Yep. All right. Some other new comics. There's a handful of new comics that were announced from Image.
From Image. Go ahead.
Yeah. There's a book from Jeff Lemire and Dustin Nguyen that's coming out called The Sender. Which I'm pretty interested in there. The powerhouse that is Rick Remender has just announced his fourth ongoing at Image, not counting what he's writing at Marvel, too. Mm-hmm. And what he's got there is called Tokyo Ghost. And this is just based on the creative team alone. This might be one of the most insane team-ups I've heard. You've got Rick Remender, you've got Sean Gordon Murphy, who, if you guys remember, was drawing The Wake here recently, and then Matt Hollingsworth I'm assuming he's on Colors, which Hollingsworth has done so much stuff, and I'm looking at just the first cover here. It's ridiculous. I mean, like, but Murphy's a god, and you put Colors with Hollingsworth on there. I'm really curious to see basically what this one from Image's, you know, own release was that Tokyo Ghost welcomes readers to the Isles of New Los Angeles, 2189. Humanity's become nothing more than a sea of consumers, ravenous and starving wolves sick from toxic contamination who have to borrow, beg, and steal for the funds to buy their next digital fix. And I'm like, sounds like now. But, you know, I'm curious to see what they do. There's a book called From Under the Mountains, which is from Marion Churchland, Claire Gibson, and Sloan Leong, coming out as well. Valhalla Mad from Joe Casey and Paul Mayberry. And then Rumble from John Arcudi and James Herron. Intersect from Ray Fox. The Humans from Tom Neely, Keenan Marshall Keller. There's a lot in here. Invisible Republic and Kinski from Gabriel Hardman and Karina Bechko. And there's a lot more. Southern Cross from Becky Quinn and Andy Bellinger. You guys really should hop online. If you go to comicsalliance.com, they had a whole list of them down there. But I'm excited to see all these new books that are coming out.
So you're going to buy them all?
More than likely. You know, I mean, Image and Boom Studios are the two companies out there where if a new issue comes out, it's about a 90% chance that I'm going to buy it.
They've been doing a lot of good work, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say no to those when they are consistently so good.
Hey, I had a friend talking about comics. He's not that big into it, but he was telling me all these titles, and I'm like, yeah, I'm familiar with it. I haven't had a chance to read it, but familiar with it. And I told them, you know, straight up, you know, look at Boom, look at Image, even look at Dynamite if you want some newer stories.
Dynamite has a lot of new old stories.
Yeah. But, yeah, definitely Boom and Image, though, if you want original stuff that some pretty creative storytelling going on over there.
Yeah.
Something that was also announced from Marvel Studios is 5 release dates. Now, we already know Age of Ultron's got their release date, Ant-Man does, Doctor Strange, as well as Guardians of the Galaxy.
Sequel.
But we have 5 new dates that don't have titles necessarily attached to them yet. So we can speculate what they might be, but that they're already locking down all the way from 2019, May 3rd, 2019. That's kind of, I mean, really throwing out their future plans that...
Well, but if you look at those release dates, they're following the same pattern that they've had, which is the first week of May. They've been very successful hitting the first week of May and kind of starting off the summer blockbuster series. Then usually sometime in July, or I guess Guardians of the Galaxy is August 1st, but mid-July. And then one around November, they've started doing with, like, Thor the Dark World. They've been starting to release some around the November time, right before Christmas. So I think that those dates kind of represent the trend that Marvel's had for all their release dates. So I don't think there's anything new there unless they give you a title to go with it.
Titles.
I saw a thing that I couldn't confirm as being from San Diego that went on and named a lot of the titles, but following up on the source, I couldn't confirm it, so we won't talk about it here. But
Hulk movie.
Yeah.
Let's just
Hulk. They were all Marvel titles, so you can speculate.
Yeah. I don't really have a whole lot else that I picked up when we did our trip over to San Diego.
Well,
when we were taking that trip, when we were in the fast lane, we switched over to the McFar lane, and we learned about Todd McFarlane's plans for spot number 250. Now,
before we go on, we have to explain that for those that didn't hear the really drunken exploits of Tony and I at Motor City this last year with our good buddy Jay from An Elegant Weapon and his pronunciation of Todd McFarlane.
Because he's Canadian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So go check out An Elegant Weapon and
you'll understand his
Canadian-ness.
Speech impediment.
Speech impediment. Love you, Jay.
But I have to say, for most comic books to reach, you know, 50 now is...
Without rebooting, yeah.
Yeah, is a huge feat. But to reach 250 is pretty much a huge deal. And I have to give credit to Todd for having had his creation go this long while still overseeing it, maybe with different teams on board. But he's talking about the target release date for this is going to be around December of this year. And he's bringing back Al Simmons, who hasn't been spawned for about the last 6 years. So bringing an original established character back is...
Could be interesting.
Well, I mean, I get a lot of sick of superhero deaths. And, I mean, he was dead, so I don't know if this is a superhero... if he went to life to then be dead again.
Begin with.
So he's going to be re-dead, which is cool, but yeah.
It could be, I mean, especially since it's been 6 years, and it's not one of the characters lived on, the Spawn characters lived on, but the specific character of Al Simmons coming back should be interesting. A lot of TV series news. Sam Raimi reveals that he's writing an Evil Dead TV series with Bruce Campbell and his brother, Rob Tarpa and his brother Ivan Raimi. So that could be hopeful. One of the thoughts is that it might be like a Netflix show. Tie it all up together. Put it just on Netflix. But I would be really excited for that. Lucy Lawless looks like she's going to join the cast of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So that could be cool because she hasn't done a whole lot recently. But
Is she going to scream? Like, whenever, like, something happens, she's going to, you know, whatever it is she does.
Yes, I hope so. I hope she, like, instead of grabbing her tiara off, or her little circlet thing and stuff, she, like, takes a book and throws it at somebody.
Something that just needs to be Googled later on today for, or whenever you guys are listening to this podcast, is the new Multiversity picture of DC's universe by Grant Morrison. It is beyond sweet to kind of see where they fit some of their worlds, their universes, Earth 2, Earth Prime, as well as some of their other properties, and having Destiny up at the top.
Yeah, sweet. That's my favorite part. Outside of all the sphere of influence, there's Destiny from the Sandman, Destiny of the Endless, kind of reading his book. And I thought that was really neat.
There's this has been done before, and it's something actually I forgot. I did have one other thing here, actually two, about famous people that go to conventions and walk around dressed up in costume.
That's
because,
cool.
Because people won't know who they are.
Yeah. I haven't seen many cosplay pictures from San Diego yet, but I also haven't looked for that specifically.
We saw enough when we were there. You know, but
the body paint people are pretty interesting.
Yeah, you know, that one guy, Go Buddy.
I never saw somebody body paint themselves as the Blob, but nothing could move that man.
Yeah,
he's one person we couldn't cut in front of.
Yeah, Jack Black apparently wore a suit and a Stormtrooper helmet and walked around.
Nice.
But he said apparently word got out that people are like, hey, that's Jack Black, and he thinks that maybe somebody recognizes his voice or whatnot. Why he didn't have the voice modifier on the damn helmet is beyond me. But then Daniel Radcliffe, a.k.a. Harry Potter, walked around wearing a Spider-Man outfit.
He could pull that off.
Yep. And then Peter Jackson, through a Facebook post, had a thing. He goes, I had a fun day at Comic-Con walking around amongst you all. Did anyone notice the evil jester? And there's actually a picture of him walking, like, in his costume behind somebody who's got a hobbit bag, and he's pointing at it.
Nice.
So, that's just kind of cool that, you know, you got people walking around. And I gotta admit, you know, when we get to the point where we're all super famous and we can barely move, I'm gonna have to start wearing a Tony mask, because nobody will bother talking to me then. So...
friend of ours, Cena Grace, one of the books that he's been an artist on, Little the Press Boy, is coming back. Mm-hmm. Image is reviving this, and it is going to be coming back in October. They left off at issue number 16 way back in April 2013, and it's pretty much been on hiatus ever since, but Little Press Boy supposed to be there too, number one, will be coming out, and can't wait to get that, because love anything that Cena's doing.
Yeah. One other thing I forgot, because technically it wasn't San Diego news, it was pre-San Diego. You guys know that Boom Studios was releasing 15 little teaser announcements before. The last one, their final one, came out, and it was very similar to the Marvel style teasers. They would just have, like, you know, one word on there. Well, this had two words. It's just black box, and it's got Boom Studios on the bottom, and it just says Grant Morrison. And I'm like, yeah, you really don't need much more than that. You can just say Grant Morrison. Done. So I thought that was pretty cool that that Boom had that to announce. So more information on that as we get it.
Yep. There's still stuff coming out with people writing up articles, us still doing some investigative journalism.
Yeah, we'll have to teleport back this afternoon.
Yes, and everything else in between.
Well, we do have to go back because my bar tab's still open.
Okay.
So, and, dude, you do not want them to run your card if you're not there to sign off on a tip.
So, hopefully you guys enjoyed a special, longer segment of our news this week. We'll be back next week with a regular podcast to have everything combined into one tight little package.
You got a combiner transformer now with our podcast?